We go live for the busy offices of Lawnburdens to Antonio Flores. Antonio, good morning to you.
Charles, very good morning. Everything good?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. And another day, another dollar, as they say in certain parts. And yourself?
All good, yeah. We can't complain. All good, working. And just dealing with the tax office and their crazy ways, yeah.
Ah, yes, deep, unfathomable joys as we deal with Hacienda. Now then, haven't had you on so far this year, I don't think. So, you know, very belated Happy New Year. And we've gotten some new law enactments and changes for 2022.
Yeah, you know, there've been certain changes, some of which have been triggered by the Spanish tax office losing court cases in the Supreme Court in Spain, or Constitutional Tribunal, but also in the European Court of Justice, which I'm sure you've debated already, that the Modelo 720, Form 720, the famous document that has been now challenged and has lost. They basically now rendered it illegal in respect to the fines whenever people didn't file properly. You know, the thing that's happening with this tax office is that they are becoming so predatory in certain sectors and fields of the tax system that they are being challenged in court. One of them is the plus-value tax. Plus-value tax, they managed to get away for decades on a tax which was pretty much illegal in all this respect. So, you know, they declared it null and void last year, 2 years ago. And now they've come up with a new system to calculate plus-value tax. Anyway, what's interesting about this tax is that, you know, there's two different ways of calculating it now, and the difference between them can be of thousands of euros. You are able to choose the lowest of the two. But anyway, that's changed. Okay, so the plus-value tax has changed. There's also now a new system to calculate minimum transfer values on properties. You buy a house and you underdeclare it. We know what happens. They send you another bill. But now the system's changed. You know, before it was based on the rateable value. Now they base this minimum value on comparative records of similar properties in the area. And this is obtained through the notaries and land registries, offloading all that information to the tax office. You know? So things have changed. Things are changing. They're coming up with systems. I think this last change is not good because we are seeing prices that really do not reflect the reality. But anyway, what they're trying to do is make it harder for you to challenge if they do win, that you've underdeclared. Okay, so that's the other thing is the Modelo 720.
Right.
Okay.
Well, this is the overseas assets, isn't it? This is the declaration of your overseas.
That's correct. Now, I guess that's the one that's affected most people, because anyone who's got more than 50,000 euros abroad, even if you have your home back in the UK or in any other country, you have to declare it. Now, failing to declare it properly was triggering crazy taxes. I remember many years ago, a lady in Granada, that she had a property in Granada, sorry, in Switzerland. She was from Granada, Switzerland. A property worth 300,000. Anyway, he was fined at 300,000 for not declaring a property worth 300,000. Okay. So imagine you have a house in Switzerland, you don't declare it for whatever the reason, and they impose a fine equivalent to the value of a house.
That's outrageous.
I mean, it's crazy, but the law said you could even go up to 150% of the value. Well, they stopped at 100. You know, they were 100%. They were generous. Anyway, they did fight it, and eventually that's what's triggered this whole thing. Now, apparently the tax office in Spain, or the Spanish government, by and large, they need to return about 200 million euros to people who they've fined illegally. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, what's sad about this is that, you know, people have to resort to the European Court of Justice, okay, to do this. And, you know, the national court system is not providing the remedies to amend these, irregularities or inefficiencies of the system. It's good in a way. We are in the European Union, you know, if you think about it, because it's more often than not, the European Court of Justice is revoking, is nullifying laws of this country that everyone sees as illegal.
It begs the question, Antonio, how is sort of Hacienda and some of the Spanish authorities going to be reacting to this thing? Because they are, you know, they're not reactive, are they? They are proactive in terms of going out after people if they are behind or not declaring or evading rather than, you know, paying what they should be paying.
Yeah, well, you know, the system, you know, if you don't declare something, yeah, you are bound to get a fine. But if you happen to have it in Spain and you hide it and you don't declare it, the fine is much lower than if you did it abroad. So what they say is there is no proportion or there is no reasoning behind these humongous, massive fines for things that, you know, could be completely you know, non-deliberate or just simply an oversight. You've not recorded a certain deposit you had in a bank account, you forgot about it, or your accountant forgot about it, or it was wrongly, you know, sort of recorded on the form. And what do you get? You get a massive fine, you know, and you can't really dispute it. And before you notice, they've already taken it from your bank account. If you don't have money, they have a charge on your property and they're going to auction your house. And you know, if you want to fight it, you need to put the collateral with the tax office, which you obviously in the first place you don't have it. So the system is really bad. It's quite bad. Anyway, thankfully, this has now got to this point where people still have to declare their overseas assets, but not under this so repressive regime, which is what the European Court of Justice has said was basically against every rule. You know, plus there's another thing. There was no statute of limitations. You know, so the lawyer, which is a colleague in Mallorca, he said, "Well, this is almost like the crime of genocide. You know, it's no statute of limitations. You know, it's as bad as committing genocide." Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting one, but yes, okay.
But, you know, if you think the parallelism, you know, why is there no statute of limitations here? For what reason? You know. If a murder in this country after 30 years cannot be prosecuted, you know, it happens that the Form 720 didn't have the statute of limitations. People couldn't even benefit from that. So it was just so bad to not declare certain things according to the tax office that, But anyway, I'm going a bit by the allegations of the lawyer in this court case, which were very, very interesting. You know, but anyway, overall, what we see is we are getting a lot of court cases. You know, there's another gentleman in Switzerland recently. He was fined. He was a very rich man, Spanish chap, 200 million euros, because they said he was a resident of Spain. And he said, no, I'm living in Switzerland. Okay, suspicious, you know. You live in Switzerland. You know, it's not the best place to live in wintertime. But anyway, he did live. He was fined. He was really badly treated by the tax office, confiscated his assets. They wanted 20 years imprisonment, and he fought it all along, and he got to the Supreme Court, and they've just completely exonerated him of every single charge, you know? So, you know, from being an absolute criminal for the tax office to being an absolute, innocent man for the Spanish Supreme Court, it makes you think something's wrong, you know?
So,
country we live in.
Exactly. Can you see then any what do you think are going to be the major points coming up in if you have a legal crystal ball to gaze into, Antonio? What do you think that we're going to see this time? You know, do you think we might get some updates on property law? There's a lot of talk about there being a resurgence in the property market, or there has been since the pandemic. Do you think are there any pressing cases coming up? Are there any pressing legal statutes that you think are going to be drafting up, or anything that you think we should be looking out for in 2022?
Well, I think the most important, one of the most important ones to manage or to try to maintain this sort of good now investment atmosphere in Spain and Andalusia as well, which is where we are, but overall in the countries, that every region now wants to bring out a new planning act, okay? And planning acts are very important because, if you think about Spain being a country where, we live off tourism and also construction. You know, all that goes with property investment. You know, there's a lot of demand for Spanish property from, you know, national and overseas. And Andalusia has, or say, the first community or region that has implemented a new planning act, which basically wants to reduce the timing or the procedures to approve land reclassification from non-buildable to buildable. You know, but that makes it, you know, I know this has been criticized for many, many years because of speculation and corruption, bribes and stuff. But if you think about it, you know, how many families live off construction? There's just not the guy who is developing, the property developer. Is that all that goes with it? You know, from all the way from the guy who manufactures steel to the gardener who's going to be looking after the gardens at the end of the process. So, you know, I think that's the most important law. Mm-hmm. I would say that is now in the pipeline. At least in the Andalusia has already been approved, but they need to now develop it into the various minor regulations that would specify how things are to be done. You know, the law is quite generalistic. Now, this is the other side, which, you know, we've spoken about, which is the rural side. They want to encourage people to also build in the countryside under certain limitations. Anyway, it's not for everyone. I know a lot of people are against that, but it's another way of making the countryside active again.
Mm. I mean, there has been this big campaign on a national level to try and get people back to repopulate villages in the campo. There's this big thing about, you know, schools, the fact that if you've got decent broad, you know, bandwidth, you can operate from one of these, you know, these depopulations, you know, in the campo. Because if you live on the coast, you live on the islands, you might think, okay, it's busy enough. But, you know, I've lived inland. You know this area, Spain as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are huge amounts of space there that have very few people living in them indeed. And going back to that construction thing, I'm just looking at the studio window at the moment, watching two cranes. No, it's not ornithology, but I'm watching two cranes busy working away. And you will know on your favourite bike ride, Antonio, because I know there is new build going up on both sides. There's one on the right hand side, which is a well known UK builder, and there's a massive development happening on the other side of the lake on which I live. So there is, you know, the thing is, we are hoping that, unlike perhaps the Ley de Costas, which was put in now almost 40 years ago, and you're still seeing building going on next to the sea, hopefully there will be some proper zoning, some proper urban planning, or some proper, you know, planning, so that we don't get that, you know, that concrete tsunami that wiped out most of the coastal resorts in the 60s and 70s.
Oh no, definitely, you know, that was absolute chaos what happened in those years. You know, you would get a, you know, high rise in the middle of nowhere and next to the beach. Yeah, I think that's not going to happen ever again. And, you know, for one thing, there are, you know, strong lobbies as well that are fighting that. And, you know, and that's also good. You know, the sort of more left-leaning parties are a bit, I would say, more against or less inclined to allow more development. And then there is the sort of right-leaning parties that are all for developing everywhere, which is wrong, of course, you know. So try to find that balance. Strike the balance is where I think the right sort of ideal situation would be. You know, this is what they need to decide. You know, where is that line? Where is what can you build in the countryside? So can you just get any plot of land and build a three-story house? Well, yeah, there's going to be regulations. There's going to be limits to that. But I do think the countryside does need a bit more life, you know, because some villages have had, you know, are almost disappearing. There are villages that, you know, have maybe a tenth of the population they had 100 years ago. Mm. And that's a bit sad. No, nobody wants to work in agriculture. You know, that's the reality. Even though when you go to the supermarket, it's just so expensive. You know, someone's pocketing the money, but, you know, that's another debate for another day. But, you know,
yes,
why
indeed.
Is everything so expensive, and then nobody really wants to work in that sector? But, you know, I'm seeing villages in Andalusia, Malaga are not so bad. But if you go further inland, and that's, you know, all around Spain, if you go to Castilla, then it's really dramatic. Some, you know, they are just giving away villages. I saw in Italy the other day, they're just They're offering people money to go live in these places, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, giving them for €1, you can buy a mansion in a remote village in Italy somewhere.
I saw that, which made me laugh, because they were doing the same. They were doing this in Italy, where you could buy a house that you could do up for €1, but it had to be, you couldn't be a property developer, you couldn't run it as an Airbnb, for example. But also, yeah, they were doing the same sort of thing in my hometown, which is Stoke-on-Trent. And given the choice between living in rural Italy and living in Stoke-on-Trent, I think I know where the biggest queue would be, Antonio.
I don't know. I mean, I've not been in Stoke-on-Trent.
Ah, you see, you haven't lived, Antonio. What else is crossing your legal radar there? We should be looking out for.
Yeah, okay. There's this other issue of this legal point at which you get questions. You know, people want to buy property through companies, and this was very popular before. You know, for a number of reasons, put in a company name, and okay, but there's a bit of an anonymity, and then you don't pay certain taxes, and then a number of things. But now the tax office has said, well, you know, if you have a property in a company name and someone's living in there, they should be paying a rent because, companies are not charities. SLs are not charities. So they can't give properties for free. So anyway, they've taken that to heart. And now anyone living in a company, in a property owned by a company, has to give a reason why they live there. So unless you're a squatter, okay, there will be an assumption that person is allowed by the owner to stay there, in which case they have to pay tax from what we'd say benefit in kind. Okay, they are getting something for free, but the companies can't give anything for free, so there'll be a 25% charge on the assumed or the market rental. Okay, so they're actually roaming the urbanizations all around Spain, and they're looking for properties owned by companies, and they're saying, okay, they knock on the door, who are you? Well, I'm a tenant. Okay, are you paying? Yeah, I'm paying. And so then if they pay, they will go and check. If they are saying, oh, we are friends of the owner, or I'm the director of the company, I'm the owner of the company, fine. Give me your details. You know, a month later, you get a letter, and they'll say, okay, for the last 4 years, you lived in this house, now you need to pay me 25% of the estimated rental value during 4 years, which is, say, 100,000. You need to pay me 25,000 euros. And that's it. You know, that's what they're doing. It's not you can really fight it. You know, once they send it to you, you can fight it, but they'll carry on trying to enforce it. So anyway, that's another thing to keep in mind. If you want to buy a house, there might be benefits in you buying it in a company name, but at the same time, you need to be aware that you can't just have it in the company name and live in it and not pay the rent, or at least pay the tax equivalent to the rent.
I'm so old now that, Antonio, I can remember when people were buying properties through Gibraltar-based companies. That dates me, but that is definitely another tale for another time. Antonio, if anybody's got any legal questions and they want to keep up with some of the latest news, what's happening in the legal world, where can they find you online?
Okay, they can email us on info@lawbird.com, and they can also call us on 952-861-890. And then, you know, we have a website, lawbird.com. You can also check us up there.
Antonio Flores, as always, enjoy the weather. It's perfect. I'm amazed we managed to get you because it looks like perfect cycling weather out there at the moment. And I've seen more than I went up the other day and it was like going through the peloton of the Tour de France driving up to my place the other day. So I was expecting to see you on the road at some point, my friend.
I might have been one of those mammals.
No, you're not one of those mammals. You're not one of those middle-aged men in lycra, as the saying goes. You're far too sporty for that. Antonio Flores at Lawbird. As always, good to speak to you, and speak to you very, very soon.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.